All right. Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd live from the Mobile Kintec studio here at Rogers Arena and joined for the first time in a while, and what a time for it, by my co-host, who of course covers the team for The Athletic as well. He is Thomas Trantz.
Yeah, so when I was in Aguadilla in Puerto Rico for a week.
Wow.
That was the music that I listened to on repeat. That's all I listened to the entire time I was in Puerto
Rico. Just imagined you were coming back to the radio to spit hot fire takes.
Yeah, so I land on Saturday and get a tip pretty early in the day about a looming JT Miller trade. And I tried to run it down for like 30 minutes, but ultimately I was just so tired. So I called Rick Dhaliwal, my partner in crime on occasion, and was like, this is what I'm hearing. And then, of course, saw the tweet from him about an hour later, and then Elliot Friedman has the as he often does, like,
yep,
actually gets to the bottom of it and drops the
bomb.
So
this all started with you.
No. Elliot Friedman, I think, from his podcast.
He said he was getting those texts also.
No, he said he was getting them on Friday.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, you really are the big fish, man. That was my reaction.
But I think the first it came out in public was Dhaliwal's tweet.
Dhaliwal's tweet, yeah.
And you were the puppet master behind
I might have been the man behind the shadows. I might have put him on the scent. And then I go to the game on Saturday.
Yep.
Of course, the Canucks win. And post-game, Connor Garland walks into his scrum and gives me a little tap. Oh, welcome back, man. I'm just like, what did I miss? Did I miss anything in the week that I decided to take vacation?
Yeah, I got a
quiet week in January, well ahead of the trade deadline.
Exactly.
This will be fine. This is a perfect time to take
it. Before the Four Nations. Whatever. No. Nothing's going
to
happen.
And to our audience, I apologize. My buddy had a wedding of sorts down in Puerto Rico, a destination wedding of sorts. And I worked through the holidays so that I could be there.
Yeah.
Really, really was like, I'll only miss two games. And then, of course, those two games, everything gets set on fire. And now the Canucks, for the millionth time, have like a narrowly aborted JT Miller trade.
I do think we have to, if we're still doing the show next year, we have to outlaw January vacation on the show.
Why? Yeah. Did it happen last year, too?
Well,
Bo Horvat got traded the first day.
Lindholm trade.
Right.
Bo Horvat.
Were we on vacation for that?
I think one of us was, maybe. I'm not sure.
Or, I think that was you. I was definitely
maybe
working.
I don't know. Bo Horvat and Bruce Boudreau was around that time as well. We were on vacation for Bo Horvat. I don't know about Bruce Boudreau. But anyways, just
I was
a
definitely
lot of
working
stuff,
through Boudreau.
A lot of stuff happens in January.
It's
is
true.
What I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
you know what? You're right. A lot of stuff happens in January around this team. But also, the JT Miller, will he or won't he get traded conversation, okay, is such a feature at this point of what we do on this program, but
yes,
also what Canucks fans do, and,
yes,
and apparently what the organization does.
Yes, apparently.
Like,
yep.
I swear,
and the rest of the NHL.
Yeah, I swear, we're going to be doing this show, God willing, and it's going to be the year 2054, okay, and we're going to be talking about ageless wonder, JT Miller, 52 years young.
The New York Rangers love this player, but not enough to give up their fourth best prospect.
For the 45th time in the last 50 years, the Rangers have attempted to, like, this is what we're just going to be doing forever,
apparently.
Seems.
All yeah. right. There's so much to get into here. So, obviously, the timing's a little off today because of the Patrick Elvian presser, but we will do the whiteboard right now.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, January 20th. And the headline is Patrick Alvin speaks. Certainly raised some eyebrows, raised my eyebrows when we got the note at around 10:30 this morning that Alvin would be addressing the media here for a midseason availability at Rogers Arena, given all of the conversation, all the reporting, all the noise out there about JT Miller over the weekend. But Patrick Alvin, credit to him, as always, for getting out there and facing the media. And the way I summed it up quickly, you were there, you were asking questions in the scrum, Drantz. The way I summed it up quickly just before going to break after we heard from Alvin was, I felt that was most notable for what he didn't say. And specifically, he did not deny in really any terms, let alone solid terms, the idea that they are exploring trading JT Miller. He certainly didn't confirm it, but there was no, because we've heard this from Patrick Alvin in the past, right? In other instances where It seems like maybe Miller was close to being traded. There were discussions, I think, about the rumored discussions with Pittsburgh a couple years ago, and asked about it after, and he kind of says, well, you know, I don't know what you guys are talking about, basically, he said. Didn't do that here. No denial that there have been JT Miller discussions. No denial that they've explored trading a piece from the top of their roster. And I think given Patrick Galvin's track record, that's probably the most notable piece of news to come out of the presser today.
Sometimes, you know, to put on PR guy hat for a second, sometimes you're hooped and all you can do is go out and not explicitly lie.
Yep.
And I think that's sort of where we're at. These reports are all credible. You know, in fact, I think the level of stress behind the scenes has probably been far greater than the volume of noise outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always true, but I think in this case it is. Right? Like, I do think that the Canucks are, sorry, I don't think this. This is what I'm reporting. The Canucks are, I think, are at a point where they're prepared and in fact, actively preparing to enter a new phase in their team building cycle, a more transitional phase. And that includes life without one of 40 or 9. That's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And so Alvin couldn't, I think, given just the volume of credible reporting out there, come out and sort of do the full-throated defense.
No.
Or the full-throated denial.
Or even like a non-denial denial.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like even that would have been too cute.
Absolutely. No. He couldn't even do the, we're not going to, as of now, we're not considering a buyout on anybody. Right?
Yeah.
There was no wiggle room on that. So I won't discuss specifics. We're always listening and looking for ways to improve our team was about the only option he had. I thought he hung in there and did as good a job as he could, given mm-hmm. the circumstances. I thought he had some really strong moments. I thought he had some strong answers defending the club's style of play. Certainly giving his full support to Rick Tocchet, right? You know, the conversation about the defense, the makeup of the defense, and the idea that really it's on the team for not playing the right way as mm-hmm. a five-man unit. I think there's a lot of meat on that bone, especially, I mean, I tried to follow up on it and apply it to the core itself. And, you know, I think there's a lot of meat on the bone there from the perspective of actually understanding the frustrations of Canucks decision makers that have gotten them to this point. And so, look, I probably deflects some attention from the players, right? Probably soaks up a headline or two in a more innocuous way. And at the end of the day, he comes across as an honest broker who's working to improve this team. That's about all that could be accomplished today, and I think he did it.
Because, and you asked, I believe it was you who asked JT Miller after the game on Saturday, does it feel different from your perspective this time? Certainly, as we've noted many, many times, not the first time we've heard JT Miller's name in trade conversations and trade reports in his time in Vancouver, but... You know, and JT Miller basically said, you know, yeah, I guess, but I don't really know how to answer that question, which is understandable from his perspective. I'll tell you from my perspective, this feels very different. Not that I'm saying, oh, it's definitely going to happen now because I'm kind of still in I'll believe it when I see it mode. But you think of all of the other examples, right? You go back a few years, the first Rangers wave, right? Remember the Islanders one or the rumored Canucks Islanders trade at the Montreal draft? And then that was shrouded in mystery. The Pittsburgh rumor, you know, all of that.
Where he didn't go to Dallas?
Yeah. All of that, you know, yeah, those were interesting, but they never felt imminent. Saturday, it felt like, oh, this could happen. This could happen today, or this could happen tomorrow. And you look at, you know.
When I think for the player, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think for everyone involved, there was that sense of finality.
The reporting around it was so much stronger and so much more specific than in any other situation in the past. And I just think given that, it would have been very, very difficult for Alvin to say anything else other than just declining to comment while still retaining any sort of credibility in the market.
For sure. So I did ask JT that question, and then I followed it up with the three stars question. And in both, just to give our listeners a sense of how the sausage gets made, what you're trying to do, because you know the player doesn't want to say anything, right? What you're just trying to do is, like, give them a moment that relates to real experience in the hopes that maybe they are triggered by an emotional response to actually say something of interest. I appreciated that Miller was having absolutely none of it.
It was a good scrum.
It was a good scrum.
Good for him getting out there and talking. And, I mean, he played a really good game.
Well, it's important, especially because, you know, the Thursday one that he had before that Kings game, which I watched on the beach in Aguadilla, failed to hit a basic professionalism baseline.
Yeah.
And one thing that I get annoyed by, I know fans love when, like, Canucks player dunks on media. I don't care about getting dunked on ever, right? Like, that's not the problem. But I do think there's, like, a baseline professionalism of answering questions that does matter and can be revealing of character or a team's character.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been frustrating for me on occasion this season is when those scrums have failed to hit that baseline and the team's play has failed to hit that baseline, and it just feels like a reflection of the overall maturity of the group. I thought Miller's scrum was a good example of what it should look like for a player in a tough situation. Like, yeah, he made fun of my question. It was a perfectly fair question. He didn't say it wasn't, but he was like, you know, I'm not going there. Nice try, buddy. And then effectively called me an idiot politely. And that's fine. No problem with that.
Well, and frankly, like, I mean, I'm not in there in the scrum, so I can't speak for you guys. But, like, I think if I was there, those are the kinds of interactions you want to have more of.
Yeah.
Because that's closer to just collegial, real-life interactions,
yes.
Right? Than the very shut down, foreclosed stance. Like, that's more just how you talk to a normal person. And I think that's what you ultimately what people want to see.
And so I appreciated that scrum and honestly the performance in challenging circumstances that we got from JT Miller. I think people are making a little bit more of it.
Sure.
That, you know, he crushed it in the draw, and they mostly held a deeply fatigued McDavid and Draisaitl off the score sheet, partly because they called it playoff rules. And Miller's biggest value to a team, honestly, is that he is the best at water skiing on McDavid through the neutral zone without ever getting called for it. I don't know why referees allow JT Miller to turn the clock back 20 years when he's checking McDavid through the neutral zone, but he is the best in the league at doing it uncalled. It is incredible. Incredible skill.
And maybe the last time we'll see it in a Vancouver Canucks uniform. We'll see! But, of course, part of that is the hearings for McDavid and Myers today as well. Now, hold on. Okay, before we move on to the rest of the whiteboard and the broadsheet, and, I mean, I don't even know now how we attack it on a day like today, another headline is that the Canucks are practicing right now. JT Miller is on the ice with his team. And, of course, after the game, he said, look, I'm a Canuck today, tomorrow, you know, whatever happens, happens. But, obviously, there's a focus from him on, listen, while I'm here. And I remember even thinking back to Bo Horvat about this, right? And there was the story that Bo Horvat went to Rick Tocchet because they did cross over very briefly there and basically said, hey, whatever happens is going to happen, but while I'm here, I'm the captain and I'm going to do my best for you. And, you know, I think that's the situation JT Miller finds himself in now. So he's on the ice. Given your sense of the situation, what we just heard from Patrick Alvin, what we heard from everyone, all the reporting over the weekend, what's your kind of expectation for how the immediate term unfolds here? I did have to laugh at Patrick. The quote that made me laugh the most from Patrick Alvin was him saying, it's going to be interesting over the next couple of weeks. I was like, yeah, I think that's a fair way to say it. I think that's accurate, Patrick. But what's your kind of expectation for how the near term unfolds here with JT Miller and the Vancouver Canucks?
So I don't know. I don't know if the Rangers thing is dead. I suspect it's not dead as a talking point.
Yeah.
So from our vantage point, from our POV and those of our listeners, I'm sure it'll turn its head around at some point, stare us right in the eye, maybe cross-eyed one more time. But I think at this point, so the Miller camp reportedly has permission to talk to teams.
Yep.
Teams have a sense of sort of what it would take, right? Those teams understand where Miller would go because, of course, he has an NMC. So, I mean, this seems pretty developed. Right, like this is a three-dimensional deal, but a pretty well-developed one at this point, based on Friedman's reporting, which I think is bulletproof. So what does this look like for the next 2 weeks? I think it looks like the Canucks sort of figuring out what their next step is. And fair enough. You have to be pretty judicious about where your foot falls here. This is a transformative deal. This is a management group that has come into town and across 3 years eschewing calls to rebuild from the marketplace, maybe from our show, I don't remember.
Who knows?
They have done everything possible to extend, retain, and support this core group, and now you're staring down the barrel of dismantling at least a significant portion of it. I mean, JT Miller had 100 points for this team last season.
Yeah.
He was their emotional leader. He drove He was like the only – him and Brock Besser were the only reliable source of offense that this team could count on in that Nashville series. Because you'll recall, Hronek and Hughes weren't exactly at their best in that series, right? Like, it was Miller and Besser. It was the Miller and Besser show.
Yep.
They won a round single-handedly. And the futures of both players are murky less than 8 months later. I mean, that's a wild place to be. In terms of what comes next, I don't know. I do think the club is motivated. I do think there's a shared sense that a quick resolution would be best for all involved,
yep.
as you can understand. And look, I think the club recognizes that this isn't a deal they're going to win. Like, this isn't a deal they're going to win. I think they know that from the Bo Horvat trade. And I think that example lingers pretty enormously in the club's imagination. You know, you get Bovilla, he underwhelms. You get Aturatu, he looks like he'll be an NHL player, but is he going to be more than a bottom six guy? You know,
very much up in the air. Yeah,
very much up in
the
air. And then they get a draft pick. If they'd use that pick, we'd be talking about a guy who we'd be hopeful for next year, right? That's tough. And Horvat was a pending UFA who didn't come attached to a significant contractual commitment, although when you're acquiring a player in that circumstance, you're also surrendering a fair bit of leverage in terms of locking them up. So that's not a huge sort of difference in their valuation. I think Miller will still have value. I don't think Miller is going to have team's best prospect value. And I think the team knows that. You know, there's teams.
Well,
Miller is a polarizing evaluation around the league. There are teams that are just not in. And there are teams that are very interested in what he could bring in terms of adding to their fastball.
And just to reiterate or kind of touch base on something I said on Friday, you know, to the point of you're not winning this trade. And obviously, you're not making this deal because you think you're going to be better on the ice 2 weeks from now with the pieces that you get from trading JT Miller. That's not the consideration here. You're making this consideration, as you say, or you're making this trade, or you're considering it anyways, because you're moving in a new direction. And my point on Friday was, once you kind of accept that, not that you can punt on the return or all of a sudden it doesn't matter, but the return becomes much less important than just getting to go in the new direction. Like, that's what the primary return of a JT Miller trade is. It's a bit of a clean slate and moving your team into a new direction and officially declaring that and kind of getting out of whatever stance you find yourself in now where you're kind of caught in between and he's still on the roster. So that doesn't mean you give up on trying to get the best deal, but it does mean, as you say, if you're holding out for the dream package of, you know, Alexi Lafreniere or whatever, that's not happening and you're not making the deal for that reason. So you're going to have to be comfortable with doing something else and with getting the flexibility in the new direction back instead. Okay, let's go to the broadsheet quickly, and I'll just try to kind of sum up.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'll just try to sum up. I think we have a basic...
Is this going to be a 40-minute segment?
No, I think we have a basic outline of kind of what went down on Saturday, which was felt like a deal was close between the Canucks and the Rangers. There was the possibility that JT Miller was not going to play on Saturday against the Oilers. Obviously, for whatever reason, the deal falls apart. It's not imminent, so he does play. And that's that for as far as the stuff over the weekend. So I'll try to add kind of some new reporting that's come out today to the story from the likes of Elliot Friedman. And I would say the number one new item from today, and this has been echoed by Friedman, Saravalli, and Rick Dhaliwal, is that the Carolina Hurricanes could be a team to keep an eye on in the JT Miller situation. And again, that's all three of those very well-connected insiders have noted that. Rick Dhaliwal saying Carolina talk is picking up this morning. Should also note that, you know, Elliot Friedman says the Rangers aren't out on this. It's not necessarily dead just because the deal fell apart. It could still happen with the New York Rangers. And on the idea of, you know, of course, JT Miller has a no-trade clause here, so he controls the process to a very real degree, but it doesn't sound like he's necessarily flexed that contractual muscle so far. And Elliot Friedman saying the preference is the Eastern United States. That's what he's heard for JT Miller to go to, but he hasn't said he won't go anywhere in particular. So doesn't sound like it was, you know, JT Miller vetoing the deal or anything like that that scuttled the New York Rangers deal. They're still in on it, and the Carolina Hurricanes have emerged as a potential destination as well for the services of JT Miller. And I'll admit that surprises me a little bit.
That one doesn't make sense to me.
It surprises me a little bit. I guess we'll see.
This is exactly the deal they avoid. Like, they don't sign their own guys.
Yeah.
You know, unless
these types of deals.
Unless they're a stall. unless they're a member of the Stahl family, the Carolina Hurricanes tend to eschew the older players. I mean, just think about all the Dougie Hamilton, Brett Pesce.
Yep.
I mean, go down the list. They Gensel. I guess they tried to sign Gensel.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, the Hurricanes, I mean, Jordan Stahl and Jordan Martinook, who make a combined $6 million against the cap, are like their only top six forwards. And, I mean, middle six forwards.
I guess
top nine forwards over the age of 30.
The closest thing they've done to this would be like the Brent Burns deal, but how many years were left on that?
And
three?
And they traded nothing for him.
Yeah.
They, you know, like that. They'll take a free shot.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's the key. Maybe it's not about age. Maybe it's about value. Maybe if they see JT Miller as, you know, a guy to punch up their power play and be a top six forward and the price is literally
very low.
Then maybe. But if the Hurricanes are involved, that's scary from that perspective. Honestly.
Yeah, it's not one that made a ton of sense to me when I heard it because they have been so conservative that way. I mean, I guess they signed Slavin to the big deal, but again, he's like a longtime key piece of what they do. And they signed him into his 30s. But I don't know. You'd have to really believe, I think, if you're Carolina, to bend that much on an organizational principle, you'd have to really believe in how much he was going to improve your chances of winning and coming out of the East like this year and next. And maybe they do.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
Certainly possible. As you said, some teams are very, very high on JT Miller. We've seen what he can do in the playoffs and what he can do when he's clicking at his best. But that one certainly caught me by surprise.
I'd be surprised by that. That one would surprise me. I don't know what the fit is. I don't know what the fit is. I think there's teams that I'd be surprised if they pursued. Columbus is one. Pittsburgh is one.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina would be one. There's teams that I think he would immediately help a ton. Some of them aren't on the East Coast of the United States. Like, you know, the team that he'd be a perfect fit for is L.A.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like you need a maestro for the power play and a guy who'd give you truly the best center depth in the league, and you have really well-established leadership internally already. I mean, that's the fit for me if I was, like, trying to pick a team that Miller would give a gear to that I'd then take their, like, championship hopes more seriously, especially given, you know, his ability to defend McDavid and the near certainty that those teams will face in the playoffs, right?
Got to get him for the water skiing ability,
if nothing else. The other one that I wonder about, and this is just me, like, literally thinking about hockey fits.
Yeah.
But I didn't think the Washington Capitals would have, like, a real cup window this year by any means. But what if they press their luck?
That's interesting.
What if they press their luck? I mean, they'd be such a big, gnarly, skilled group if you were able to add Miller without subtracting too much. Plus, they have a surplus of defenders. They have, like, surplus younger, promising defenders, you know, Ferravari, et cetera, to build a package out of. That's just one that I was thinking about it. I was thinking, like, if there was a mystery team, what would be a team that makes sense? You know, they swing, and they swing hard on guys who have term left and who have, like, some question marks around them, right? Logan Thompson, Chikrin, mm-hmm. and Dubois would all match that description
point.
Except for the term involved. So they're willing to swing. And you know, that's just one team. This is literally just top of my head thinking about what mystery teams could JT Miller, like, elevate in my mind. And I feel like those are front of the list teams.
That's an interesting one. I should also note that Elliot Friedman mentioned that he was wondering about the Islanders, and I think Rick Dhaliwal said he thought the Islanders were poking around on both Miller and Pettersson, and that would be hilarious if they sent Miller. They did another top six center deal to the Islanders.
Well, I mean, we know a Miller-Horvat power play can eat.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And who knows with Lou Lamoriello. Okay, one other thing I should note, and again, I think most people got the message from this on Saturday, but Elliot Friedman reporting that Pettersson or Pettersson's camp has communicated to the Canucks that he would like to stay in Vancouver long term, and so as a result, talks around Elias Pettersson have cooled down. Quick lineup notes here. As I mentioned, the Canucks are practicing. JT Miller is on the ice. Brendan Batchelor getting a set up with the lines. Pettersson skating between Jake DeBrusk and Brock Besser. JT Miller with Pugh Suter and Connor Garland on the second line. Teddy Bluger with Danton Heinen and Kiefer Sherwood. Max Sasson centering the fourth line with Nils Höglander and Phil DiGiuseppe. Quinn Hughes playing with Mark Friedman. Carson Soucy and Philip Hronek skating on a pair together. That's interesting. Derek Forbort, Vincent Desharnais on the third pair. Tyler Myers is the extra. Obviously, the team correctly anticipating that Tyler Myers will be suspended as a result of the cross-check to the face of Evan Bouchard at the end of that Oilers game. I believe McDavid has had his hearing with the NHL. I don't know when Myers is scheduled to have his.
I heard afternoon.
Given that the NHL loves to take the easiest way out and that these teams play on Thursday and that a two-game suspension would avoid both of these players being in the lineup, I would bet on a pair of two-game suspensions coming down for these players. But we'll see. You never know with the NHL. But Tyler Myers skating as an extra defenseman as the team prepares to play maybe one or couple or two games or maybe more. Who knows without Tyler Myers in the lineup.
Well, and the possibility that both Myers and McDavid miss the Oilers-Canucks rematch on Thursday.
Doesn't that seem like the most NHL?
Totally.
Course of action. Like, we don't want to see you guys on the ice.
Also, we are at the point where Myers has been so good, honestly, across the last 4 or 5 weeks, that I'm thinking about it. I'm like, man, the Canucks would really catch a break if they lost or if they got to avoid McDavid in that rematch. On the other hand, can this defense corps spare Tyler Myers?
Get Mark Friedman back in the lineup. Let's go.
And the answer kind of is no.
Let's
to be totally
go.
Honest with you.
Okay, quick playoff update, although it kind of seems beside the point at this point of the season. But the Canucks, per Dom's model, with a 79% chance to make the playoffs. Canucks remain a point back of Calgary. Calgary won on Saturday as well, so still a point back with the same number of games played as the Flames. Anything you want to chime in with on the betting odds, or should we wrap this up?
Yeah, no, I mean – I don't know what our break time is, so are we trying to get to break?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
No, we probably should break, but whatever.
The Canucks tomorrow against the Buffalo Sabres are pretty heavy favorites, minus 185, so you like to see that. The playoff odds, the two make the playoff odds now at this point are the most interesting, I think, from a perspective of, there's all these games in the U.S. today.
Yeah.
I forgot about that, so they're not live at the moment. Let's go with regular season points. I bet it's 94.5. The Canucks are projecting 93.5, man.
Wow.
That's wild. That's down 5 points from the start of the year, and they were easily in the hundreds after the first month of the season. So, yeah, I mean, this is a team that's trending to have like a 13-point sort of drop from where they were last season, and that's if you like the over, could be as much as 15. Wild to think that that's where we're at this point in the campaign.
That is the whiteboard for today. We'll take a break here. Lots to get into. I got lots of questions about this JT Miller situation, some of the other things we heard from Patrick Alvin. We'll talk to Johnny Lazarus at 1. He covers the New York Rangers, so we'll get some of the Rangers' perspective and everything that went down over the weekend. But lots more coming up here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.